Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine you're in the IT department for, say, a major logistics company. It's the morning of December 10th, 2025, and everything is just grinding to a halt. Orders aren't processing, transactions are failing left and right. And it's all because of a routine security patch.
This was a real fast-moving crisis. It hit enterprises running Windows 10, specifically those in the Extended Security Update program.
We're talking about the total unexpected failure of Microsoft Message Queuing, or MSMQ.
It was a brutal illustration of how fragile these legacy dependencies can be. I mean, this is a service that runs so quietly in the background
Right.
that many IT professionals probably forgot they even relied on it, and then suddenly it collapses because of a security update.
Paralyzing critical business functions.
Instantly.
So our mission in this deep dive is to synthesize the sources and figure out really three things for you. First, why is this kind of obscure service MSMQ so fundamentally vital?
Yeah, why should anyone care?
Exactly. Second, what actually happened when that December 9th patch went sideways, leading to the emergency fix, KB50749976?
And finally, the big one, the strategic lessons.
The huge strategic lessons this whole incident provides about the hidden costs and, frankly, the risks of relying on legacy systems, especially within that ESU environment.
That last point is so crucial. We're not just dissecting a bug here. We are talking about a strategic flaw. MSMQ is this invisible backbone, the reliable delivery truck for enterprise data.
And if that truck crashes.
Your business doesn't just slow down, it hits operational gridlock.
So let's start right there. For anyone listening who might only vaguely know the term, what is message queuing? Why is it the definition of mission critical?
Okay, so think of MSMQ as a highly reliable internal postal service for your applications.
Okay.
Your applications live on different servers and they need to talk to each other, but they don't always need an immediate synchronous answer.
So it's not like a phone call where both sides have to be on the line at the same time.
Exactly. Think about it. If System A needs to tell System B, hey, start processing the massive 10-hour background job, System A doesn't want to just sit there and wait for 10 hours for the connection to
I
close.
see. So instead of that fragile direct phone call, it's more like a guaranteed letter delivery.
A guaranteed letter. That's a perfect analogy. System A drops the message, the letter, into the queue, and MSMQ basically promises to hold on to it
And deliver it.
and deliver it exactly once whenever System B is ready for it. It doesn't matter if the network fails for a bit or an application restarts.
That asynchronous guaranteed delivery. I can see how that enables so many core functions.
Oh, absolutely. It's the engine behind complex job scheduling, massive workflow automation, and, most importantly, these huge distributed transactions that have to stay consistent across multiple systems.
And that's where the reliance becomes a little alarming. Our sources were clear that MSMQ isn't often used for, like, shiny new cloud
Yeah,
apps.
chill. It's the bridge.
It's the bridge connecting decades-old legacy applications, your old inventory management, custom financial systems, to more modern platforms.
Precisely. So when that bridge, that queue, fails, data transactions just stop. Orders might get accepted by the front-end system, but never actually get communicated to the warehouse.
Yeah.
Payments get initiated, but never reconciled. The loss of that communication translates instantly to failed transactions, data piling up, and ultimately real damage to productivity and revenue.
Okay, so let's move to the moment the system actually broke. December 9th, 2025, Patch Tuesday. This was supposed to be just a standard security update for Windows 10 ESU subscribers. What was the catalyst?
The catalyst was a set of security enhancements Microsoft put into that update, specifically for MSMQ. The intention was good, harden the service against some new vulnerabilities.
But it had an unintended consequence.
A major one. The best analysis we have suggests that these enhancements probably involved much stricter requirements for things like message signing or token handling.
Okay, so a technical change deep inside the service.
Right. And all these legacy applications, or maybe environments that just weren't configured to meet these new, tighter security protocols, they suddenly found their messages were being rejected.
Or just ignored entirely.
Yes, causing this massive, widespread service disruption. It's a classic failure mode, really. Security fixes that inadvertently break compatibility in these complex aging systems.
And the impact was amplified where the stakes were highest, right?
Right.
In the clustered environments.
That's where it got really bad. Organizations running clustered MSMQ, where you have heavy workloads spread across multiple servers, they saw the most severe problems. This wasn't a slow decline.
It was a cliff.
It was a rapid onset of cascading failures that just took out huge parts of their business operations.
I can just imagine the chaos in those IT departments. So, for the teams on the ground trying to diagnose this mess, What were the symptoms? What were the telltale signs that this patch was the culprit?
There were four key signs that, if you saw them together, just screamed MSMQ failure. The most obvious one was that the message queues just became inactive. They froze.
They stopped accepting new messages or delivering old ones.
Correct. And right after that, of course, the applications rely on those queues started throwing timeouts and failures.
And then there was the third symptom, which was especially misleading.
It was. This was the one that really confused the diagnostics. The system started flooding their logs with false, insufficient resources errors.
So teams would be scrambling, checking disk space, checking memory.
Checking CPU, everything. And they'd find it was all fine. The error was just MSMQ's internal inability to manage its own resources because of the patch conflict. It wasn't a real hardware problem.
What a nightmare. And the last one?
The last one in those clustered environments was just cluster-wide slowdowns, nodes dropping out, or complete systemic outages even under a normal operating load.
Let's pivot to the really crucial question of who was affected. I mean, Windows 10's mainstream support had already ended earlier in 2025. So who was left holding the broken pieces?
This crisis was highly targeted. The primary group was the Windows 10 ESU subscribers. These are the organizations paying Microsoft for extended security updates.
Because they couldn't, or maybe just wouldn't, migrate off Windows 10 in time.
Right. We're talking about massive enterprises, financial institutions, large healthcare networks, global logistics companies.
The ones who rely on that complex application integration and were willing to pay to keep their customized systems running.
Exactly. So if you were a home user or a small business on Home or Pro, or if you'd already moved to Windows 11, you were totally safe.
You wouldn't have even noticed.
Not at all. The problem only existed for those who took that specific December 9th patch within the ESU program.
Which brings us to the emergency response. KB5074976. The fact that it was designated out of band tells you everything you need to know about the scale of the disruption.
An OOB release is a massive red alert. It signals the failure was so widespread and so critical that Microsoft had to basically drop everything and push a fix immediately.
Outside of the normal monthly patch Tuesday schedule.
Yeah, the alternative was just continued operational paralysis for their highest paying enterprise customers.
But the deployment method was strange.
Yeah.
This wasn't just automatically pushed through Windows Update like most fixes.
And that's the crucial logistical detail here. KB5074976 was only available through the Microsoft Update Catalog.
So you had to go looking for it.
You had to know to go looking for it. This was a deliberate choice to target just that specific subset of affected ESU users, but wow, did it create an administrative headache.
So you're an IT admin. You have to manually search for that specific KB number, 5074976, download the package, and then individually push it out to potentially hundreds, maybe thousands of machines.
Yes. Using internal tools like Configuration Manager, it turned a critical patch deployment into a massive triage operation.
Instead of a seamless automated process.
It became immediate, manual, all hands on deck intervention and deployment planning, all under extreme pressure. This effort alone must have consumed days of high-level admin time.
And why couldn't organizations just uninstall the original December 9th patch? I mean, in an emergency, that seems like the easiest path.
Because that patch addressed genuine security vulnerabilities. Rolling it back would have restored MSMQ, yes, but it would have left critical systems wide open to the very threats the patch was designed to stop.
So you'd be trading a functionality problem for a massive security hole.
Exactly. KB5074976 was the only safe, necessary solution because it fixed the functionality while keeping the underlying security intact.
Okay, let's widen the lens a bit. This incident, it wasn't just a technical bug. It was a flashing red indicator about the risks you take on in these legacy environments.
Mm-hmm.
This is a harsh reality check on the whole Windows 10 ESU program.
It really is. ESU is often seen as this affordable life raft, but organizations have to understand what it actually is, a temporary bridge.
Just to facilitate migration.
Right. It is not and was never intended to be a long-term solution.
And the risk here is structural. Our sources really emphasize that because Windows 10 is just in maintenance mode now, Microsoft is dedicating far fewer resources to comprehensive testing compared to, say, Windows 11.
That is the core takeaway. When you pay for extended security updates, you are accepting a trade-off. You are buying security fixes, yes, but on a platform that gets less rigorous stability testing across every possible complex configuration.
And this MSMQ failure, where security inadvertently killed stability,
is the direct result of that reduced testing environment. It was bound to happen eventually.
Let's talk about the money, because this incident fundamentally changes the total cost of ownership calculation for ESU. The annual license fee is one thing, but what about all these hitter costs?
Oh, the financial burden is so much greater than just the license. When you factor in the expense of an incident like this, the lost revenue from the disruption, the overtime for your top engineers doing manual deployments,
potential contractual penalties for missed deadlines,
all of it, the total cost can just skyrocket. Running ESU systems means you have to budget for more frequent and more severe operational disruptions. And that budget might quickly get bigger than the cost of just migrating.
So strategically, the pressure is really on IT leaders now. They need a proactive strategy, not just a reactive one. What's the actionable advice from our sources for organizations still stuck on these legacy components?
The first, and it's non-negotiable, is implementing comprehensive patch testing environments that perfectly mirror your production systems.
No more skipping testing to save time.
If you're on ESU, you have to assume there will be less stability. You have to allocate time weeks, if you need it, to test these updates before you deploy them. Skipping that is no longer a cost-saving measure. It's a guaranteed operational risk.
And you have to actually know what your infrastructure is doing. It sounds simple, but it's often overcooked in systems that are a decade old.
Absolutely. Detailed documentation of all your MSMQ dependencies is vital. When a queue stops, you need to know immediately which specific financial platform just went dark.
And proactive monitoring.
Proactive. 24/7 monitoring of MSMQ health. Track the queue depth, processing rates, error logs. You want to detect the problem the moment the first message fails, long before the users even know something is wrong.
Okay, let's finally address the elephant in the room, the migration mandate. This incident is a massive strategic opportunity not just to move to Windows 11, but to fundamentally rethink the application architecture.
The conversation has to shift. It can't be, how do we keep Windows 10 alive anymore? It has to be, how do we future-proof our core applications?
And migration has friction. Application compatibility, and the big one, the hardware upgrades like TPM 2.0.
Right. The hardware upgrades are often the most immediate and costly barrier.
But the real opportunity here is asking whether that old MSMQ bridge is even necessary anymore.
It is the perfect strategic pivot point. Instead of just replicating the old MSMQ setup on a new Windows 11 machine, this is the time to evaluate cloud-native alternatives.
Like Azure Service Bus or AWS SQS?
Exactly. Or even open source options like RabbitMQ. They offer better scalability, better resilience, better integration with modern platforms. Delaying migration just means you are perpetually running on a foundation that Microsoft has clearly signaled is unstable.
We've had a true deep dive here. We've uncovered the quiet power of MSMQ, acting as this backbone for countless companies. We saw how a necessary security patch in a legacy environment just caused systemic chaos.
Yes, and we detailed the painful manual triage that was required by that out-of-band update, KB5074976.
But the broader truth is that the Windows 10 ESU program is proving that reduced testing and legacy dependencies create an unacceptable level of operational risk.
Right. IT leaders have to recognize that the administrative overhead and the business losses from these emergency fixes, they quickly invalidate any perceived cost savings of delaying that migration.
So here's the final thought to leave you with, especially for managing a Windows 10 ESU environment. This crisis showed a perfect collision security hardening directly broke core system functionality. You have to ask yourself, when Microsoft is no longer doing comprehensive stability testing, how soon before your legacy debt becomes an active security and stability liability that requires a manual, all-hands-on-deck intervention?
And more importantly, is it time to replace the entire legacy messaging backbone rather than just patching the operating system it runs on?
Assess those dependencies today.